know, as we go through life, people are always looking to improve. Is that right? Looking to have a better life. You know, as you study, I mean, in some of my psychology classes and other classes that I had in when I was in college about 5 years ago. Oh, you might want to add zero to that, maybe. But, or maybe more than that. But it was said that everybody is always looking to better themselves. And it said that each generation tries to prepare so that the next generation has a better life than they've had. And, you know, it seems like some people think that's a mystery, but it's not. All you got to do is find a starting point and go from there. It all begins by changing your thought life, by changing your thinking. Now I'm going to read a verse of scripture here from Proverbs 23:7, 6 and 7 actually. Proverbs 23, 6 and 7, New King James. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now let's read that from the NLT. Don't eat with people who are stingy and don't desire their delicacies. They're always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. So really, here, what we want to zero in on is because this person is a stingy person because they think that way. The principle of this verse, and this is what I really want to zero in on, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, there are many people that say things out of their mouth, but they really are not in agreement with it, and they don't really believe it. They're saying it because they think that's what you want to hear. Dad said in his book, Right and Wrong Thinking, what we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. That's in his book, anybody ever read Right and Wrong Thinking? That's on page 2 if you want to know where it is. Changing our thought life is just not automatic. We have to refuse to think in certain areas. We have to refuse to think small thoughts and think greater thoughts. Paul tells you there in Philippians, he said, all the things to think on, right? It's important. The material we read either has us to think thoughts that are greater or thoughts that are smaller. When we listen to different people, we either think bigger or we think in smaller. Now, I go to the sports field quite a bit for illustration because that's what I did for so many years and it's something I still like. In 1954, Roger Bannister was the first person to run an official recorded 4-minute mile. Now, why am I saying this? Because prior to this time, it was thought and even taught that it was physically impossible for a person to run a 4-minute mile. In reality, Roger Bannister didn't break the physical barrier. He broke the thought barrier. Now, look at this. After he ran that 4-minute mile in 54 in 1955, 37 people did it. And in 1956, just 2 years later, 300 people ran a 4-minute mile. See, he changed the whole thinking of the track and running forever. Just because he thought differently than they taught. They said it was physically impossible. They taught it couldn't be done. But he thought, I think it can. And he began to think bigger thoughts than was being taught. People, you know, I think people live small lives and do small things because their thinking is small. Somebody said this, it's unknown, I don't know who said it. Great thoughts proceed great deeds. If you're going to have a great life, then we've got to change our thought pattern and line up with the Word of God, what the Bible says, and begin to think in line with the Bible. We need to enlarge our thinking. In great times of difficulty, and I've been using David a lot here lately because I've been thinking about him and looking at some things. He had many areas of difficulty and so forth, and anguish and different situations, but he turned his situations around by his thinking. Look at Psalm 77 in the New King James. Psalm 77, verses 10 through 14. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. Now, looking at the NLT, he says, let's just read it. And I wasn't going to read the whole thing. I was just going to read a portion, but I'm going to read the whole thing. And he said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall his thinking changed. I recalled all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. Here, I want you to notice David was in distress, and he started thinking that way, but then he changed his thinking. And he took control of his thought life. Instead of thinking wrongly and complaining about the situation he was in, he began to think about what God had done and that God would do it again. You know, a lot of people, when they find themselves in not too good a situation, they begin to talk about the trouble because that's what they're thinking about. But David immediately changed the way he was thinking and began to think God thoughts. He began to talk about how great God was, what God had done for him. Even Job, in the midst of his troubles, he said, I commit my cause to you. Who does great things and unsearchable things and marvelous things? Job was in the middle of a bad situation. His life wasn't very good at that time. But see, he began to think about his God. His God could restore everything that he had lost. He could heal his body. And if you go on to read the whole book of Job, you find out in the last chapter, he gets more than he lost, because he said, I'm going to commit this to God who does great things. His thinking, instead of on his situation, his thinking was on God and what God can do. You need to begin to think on the things of God. You know, after David had become king of Israel and all the enemies were at peace and Israel with Israel, the prophet Nathan said to David, he said, I want you and your offspring to build a temple to God to dwell in. And here is how David responded to what Nathan said to him. Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you. Nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. David immediately realized the principle of success, and now he is given the honor of helping God build the temple. He realized where he had come from and where he was and what was out there. Think about it. He was a shepherd boy guarding the sheep. Then he became a fugitive, running from King Saul. But then he became the king of Israel. And now everything is peaceful. And now God said, build me a house where I can reside. Because in that day and age, God dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, David's family has given the mandate to build the temple in Jerusalem. David raised all of the money. He didn't get to see it, but his son built the temple. And God was dwelling in that temple, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. I don't have time to go all that explain. But now God's temple is you. The Lord lives in you. David's story is amazing. But it all began as a shepherd boy spending and enlarging his thoughts about God. God is great, and he desires to do great things. It's up to us to think God's thoughts and to act accordingly. It's said all the time in the sports area, if you don't think you can win, you won't. I'll just put it down there. If you don't think you can do something, you won't. Most time people won't even try. Come on now. One of the reasons that if it seems like that and people, they won't try is because they don't want to be listed as a failure. But you're never a failure until you quit thinking wrong that you can do it and till you stop trying. I don't know how many times that Bannister went out and tried to run that 4-minute mile. You know? But he didn't stop because he kept thinking it can be done. And his times got closer and closer to that 4-minute mark. He kept thinking, I can do this. This can be done. You see, that's the way we've got to think about the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, then it can happen. I've got to think that way. My thoughts have got to be that way. You need to let your thoughts and your thinking be stretched according to the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. In your thinking, how big is your God? Is he big enough to take care of all your problems? Is he big enough to take you from the place you're at to the place he wants to get you? How big is your God? Think about it. How big do you think your God is? My God is the God that created this planet. And I look around and I see nature. I see the mountains. I see the snow. I see the rain. I see the stars. I see the sky. And I think, if my God can do that, then he can sure take care of my little situations. Come on. I want to get you to thinking this morning. I want you to begin to think differently than you thought when you walked in here. I want you to begin to think about if your God can do that, all of that, it should create in you an expectancy and thinking, God can take care of me. I don't care what happens. You know, I've heard it said all my life, small faults don't expect much. Large thoughts, thinking higher thoughts and greater thoughts, produce a lot. My dad put into me, if he said it to me once, he said it to me 1,000 times. Son, if it's worth doing, do it with everything you got, or don't do it at all. And I see some people one day, they're thinking God thoughts, they're thinking the thoughts of the Word of God. The next day I see them, and they're saying, oh my Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, they begin to think more about their problem than they do about their God. That's the problem solver. So their emotions begin to take over and they begin to get sad and upset and discouraged. Man, you've got to keep looking every situation in the face and say, my God is bigger. My God is greater. Your thinking has a tremendous amount to do with your believing and your expecting. Hello. I had the privilege of growing up in a man's house that really believed that He taught it. He lived by it. He thought in those patterns. See, God is greater than we can really comprehend. Our minds cannot really comprehend the greatness of God. I mean, you look around at just this planet, but you look at the entire universe that's created. You look around in our solar system, they call it. We have a sun and we have a moon. We have 9 planets that are rotating at a certain speed in an orbit around each other. And because of that, it's all held together. If one of the planets gets out of orbit or doesn't spin the way it's supposed to, the whole thing's going down. A God that can create that. Man. You know, if you're up from up north, Canada and Alaska and that area, they have that Aurora Borealis. Man, that's something to see. Hello. Just to think, and when he created it all, it was perfect. But when the devil was kicked out of heaven and got become the god of this world, according to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he has perverted it all. See, we got to think about great. Great. Great is defined notably large in size, large in number of measurement, remarkable in magnitude, degree or effectiveness, superior in quality or character. The Bible describes God doing great things for his people in the Old Testament. Have you read the Old Testament? Have you read about the children of Israel, his people? He did things for them that were impossible. This is the way God works. But now let me tell you something. How many of you are born again Christian? You are God's people also. And you see, we talk about the early church in the book of Acts. And we get to the 28th chapter and, oh, that's great. Hey, you, me, we are still living the book of Acts. It didn't end at the 28th chapter. That's why it's called the Acts of the Church, early church. Whenever I studied, we studied. But let me tell you what. Acts is not going to be over until he descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel blowing the trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds of glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about God. Think about how great he is. Think about what he did in this word. And then realize he'll do it again for you and you and you and you and me. He'll do it again. You know, there's still more on the table. You know, go to grandma's house. She fixed food. And we all around the table. Now, you young kids don't know anything about the big farmhouses and the big table that they used to have. And the family would come in, or on Sunday, they would invite half of the church and always the preacher. And as a big old table, And it had a deal in the middle of it that you could spin around. Anybody ever seen one of those tables? And on it, Grandma would have at least two meats, always. And then, you know, some kind of beans and corn, cornbread and some biscuits, all homemade too. Gravy. Anybody getting hungry? I'm going to let you out in just a minute. We'll go eat. Somebody saying, hurry up. But you know what? I've been there, and the mashed potatoes is getting down, not very much. Somebody just took just a little bit and put on her plate. She said, go ahead, take it all. There's more where that came from. I'm going to tell you what. On God's table, we used to sing a song. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God have come and fed. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Let me tell you what, on that table, it never runs out of healing. On that table, never runs out of prosperity. Just get as big a spoon as you want and then go back and get some more. On that table, never runs out of healing. On that table, it never runs out of anything that he said in this word. We need to think on that and realize that's how big my God is. He says to us, he tells us in the word in 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Well, all I'm trying to get you to do is to think greater thoughts, believe for greater things, and have a greater life. Come on. You know, I got to thinking about this, and as I'm speaking here more and more of it, I'm just going with it. But hey, sometimes, have you ever met somebody that you begin to talk to them about God's greatness and they just say, well, yeah, he's great, all right, but I don't know. Anybody ever seen somebody that way? I have. You know what? They can be saved and born again and live not a good life. You know, as my dad used to say, go through life with the seat of the britches wore out, top of their hat out, soles of the shoes wore out, living on barely getting a long street right next to Grumble Alley. Hey, that's not what my God talks about in the Word. I'm going to think about what my God talks about. My God talks about having life and having it more abundantly. I'm going to move up to Glory Avenue right next to More Than Enough Boulevard. In fact, I think I'm going to just move over on More Than Enough Boulevard and live for a while. Come on now. How many understand what I'm trying to get across to you this morning? We sell ourselves short many times by our own thinking. Why? Because we think in line with the world, and that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to think the way the world thinks. The world thinks one way, but God thinks another way, and God's people should think like God. Hello. Man. I mean, we read it all the time, but we don't really comprehend it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. I like what the Message says. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Now, for you. Now, he is saying that to the Israelites when they're in captivity and all hope is gone. Nothing, and it doesn't look like they'll ever go back to their homeland. He is trying to get them to think the way he's thinking. And if they start thinking that way, they got a hope. See, the enemy wants you to think it's all over. You don't have a chance. But God wants you to think, listen, I know what I'm doing. I have it planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Come on. The devil's hollering at you. Oh, it can't happen. The devil's throwing everything at you. You got to just stand up and say, hey, come on, Mr. Devil. You already been defeated. My God can take care of you. When his son, Jesus, died on that cross on Calvary, and he ascended, rose from the grave and ascended and sat down on high with the keys, he turned around and said, I give the authority that I just won back to my people. And if they'll stand up in their authority and think the way God thinks, you can have the good life. You can live the good life. You can enjoy the good life. I don't know about you, but I am going to enjoy the good life. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. That's a good note to close on. I learned that a long time ago from my dad. He said, when you get the people up and they're shouting, don't set them back down. Just praise God and keep going. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody get in and say what I had said this morning? I don't know. It probably wasn't very long. I don't even know how long it was. But I want you to know, you're to the point right now, you need to just raise your hands and begin to thank God for what he's going to do for you, for where he's going to take you, for the plans that he has for you. You need to say, I'm sorry, God, I've been thinking too small. I'm going to think large. I'm going to think the way you think. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to have the good life that you said I can have. Hallelujah to Jesus.